SBC Media.
Welcome to iGaming Daily, analysing the news from the betting and gaming industry all over the globe, supported by the Canadian Gaming Summit, bringing you Canada's premier annual conference and exhibition for gaming and sports betting senior executives from across Canada and beyond.
SBC Summit Barcelona is where you can experience the entire global industry coverage under one roof. Join 10,000 industry professionals for 3 days of game-changing conversation and education. Get your tickets now at sbcevents.com.
In October of last year, the online casino streaming landscape changed following Twitch's introduction of a new set of rules due to concerns over consumer protection. At the time, Twitch noted that before the new rules, safeguards around gambling content were being circumnavigated, and the platform stressed that post-implementation, it would issue bans on content from websites offering slots, roulette, or dice games that are not licensed either in the US or other jurisdictions that provide sufficient consumer protection. Since the inception of the new rulings, using TwitchMetrics.net's figures, average viewers for the slots category has experienced a dramatic drop in numbers. On October the 17th, a day before the rules were introduced, the average viewers for the category on the platform stood at 67,715. A mere 24 hours later, those numbers dropped by just over 50% to 30,063 on average. Skip forward another day, and those average viewers plummeted to just under 9,000. Over the course of the next 11 days post-ban, the average viewers dropped to the lowest total of 7,504 on average. Over the next few months, the figures have crept up a smidge, but currently its peak time average remains around 30,000 average viewers, less than half the recorded before the rule implementation. So the question we'll be discussing more in today's podcast of iGaming Daily, sponsored by SBC Summit Barcelona, is what is the future for streaming in the iGaming sector? And joining me to talk about all things streaming is Danny Lee, the business journalist at Casino Beats and Slot Beats. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks, James. Always a pleasure to be back on the pod, so thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. And as you're well aware, and the viewers will become well aware, streaming, certainly within slots, is a big fascination of mine. I do enjoy talking about it, so it's going to be good to dive into this a bit more. And this conversation, though it was in October last year that it was announced, the reason we're touching upon it today is because at the recent Casino Beats Summit, Danny, you interviewed Alvin Sheldon, also known as Chipmunk Slots, the slot streamer, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Good chat.
Yeah. I've watched it back. It was a really good chat. And the middle part when he was talking about Twitch kind of got me thinking. And what he said, and I'll play it later on in the show, what he said really... best way of describing this, I didn't agree with it. Let's put it bluntly. I didn't agree with what he said, but it got the topic stirring again, so we could do a podcast like this on Twitch and slot streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll dive into it. And in the intro, I delved a little bit into Twitch's figures coming from TwitchMetrics.net when it comes to the new rule changes. But overall, do you think the Twitch ban that was implemented was actually a good move for the industry moving forward?
Well, responsible gambling is obviously always good for the industry, something that always needs to be promoted. And I guess that restricting these websites that aren't licensed in certain jurisdictions obviously does promote responsible gambling, because there's more control over what's been showcased to viewers and people that are probably likely to gamble themselves. But I wouldn't say it's been an especially good move for the industry, as although this content is now away from Twitch, that doesn't mean it's disappeared completely. You know, it's still being promoted elsewhere. And some of these websites that have sort of come about since the restriction changes in October, they don't necessarily have much control over or care for what is being shown in the way that maybe like one of the biggest streaming platforms such as Twitch could do.
When it was first introduced, I generally thought it would be quite damaging, certainly for streamers. And kind of what Sheldon said, hinted towards that landscape a little bit. I know the UK white paper also hinted it, which is what he was referencing to a future documentary that you'll see on Casino Beats. But I thought it'd be quite damaging. But the reality is, slot streaming on Twitch was wildly out of control when it came to kind of the legality of streamers. And this move by Twitch has enhanced that. So throughout my time kind of researching slot streamers and getting to know a few of them, there were constant discussions, which kind of led to fiery arguments between streamers who kind of accused some of, we'll call it fake money streaming, but essentially what it is, and this is where the gambling responsibility side of things, is they were getting these casino links affiliations and they were portraying it as they were gambling with their own money. And that, in a sense, when the viewer is looking at this, at the audience, they're thinking this streamer's betting all his money and he's risking life or limb to try and get these big wins. The reality is no, he is no worse off than he was before. And they were getting this money through casino affiliations and they weren't being honest with their viewers. And if you know one thing about the slot sector, certainly the slot streamers, is, and any streamer in that case actually, is transparency and honesty is the priority for streamers. They need their audience to trust them, and everything that they relay to them must be trusted in advance because they have a sense of responsibility in what they're promoting. Moving on, what changes, Danny, have you seen mainly within the slot sector since the introduction of these rules?
I think probably the biggest changes we've seen are sort of the rise of new platforms that are trying to maybe sort of take the handle now that Twitch maybe doesn't have so much viewership with streaming. So we've got like LiveSpins is constantly forming partnerships with different operators and other companies within the industry. So they're getting bigger and bigger. We've also got new streaming platforms themselves, that some of them with ties to gambling companies that were actually involved with the Twitch restrictions. So I'd say, obviously, the main changes do come from that viewership and the fact that Twitch is obviously the biggest streaming platform we have available to us. Whether that has changed sort of with the slot restrictions, I think we're still remaining to see just how much of an impact that will have. I mean, we're not even a year into these restrictions, so they're still sort of having an effect and there's still a fallout happening. So yeah, changes so far, other people trying to sort of rise up and take Twitch's place, and then obviously still dealing with the fact that lots of streamers out there are now having to maybe move to other platforms or maybe change their content to make it safer.
Yeah, I think one of the ones of what you've said I want to delve into a little bit more is the changing of platforms. Now, it's the staple in streaming has always been Twitch or your YouTube. There used to be Mixer. Now, Facebook Live has also kind of jumped on the bandwagon. It's been around for the past few years. But there's something which Alvin Sheldon mentioned in his interview, and it's a platform I'd never heard of until he mentioned it and did a bit of research. And that's, I believe it's, is it kick.net or kick.com? Kick.com. And the interesting thing about this is that it's actually backed by stake.com, who were outed by Twitch in their statement when they announced these bans. And it's interesting to see, because stake.com had a big influence over slot streaming on Twitch. They were one of the biggest platforms used and the biggest affiliate to these streamers. And even when they were using stake.com's website, they had streamers streaming for like 16 to 20 hours a day on their platform to an unhealthy amount. So to see them definitely after Twitch's announcement to then kickstart kick.com, sorry for the pun, to get on board and create this new platform, which is still in a beta mode, I believe. But when you look at that platform, it's a similar vein to Twitch, but it feels like, even though I have my issues with Twitch and how they handle a lot of their issues, I believe they don't touch on a lot of the concerns that a lot of viewers or users have on Twitch. they let a lot of adult content pass by without a lot of kind of age verification or strict age verification features. But kick.com, I had a brief play around with it, and it felt like Twitch before the ban and kind of the height of the Wild West of Twitch. There was no, like, slots was its biggest category just after Just Talking, which is just where people chat and stuff like that. Yeah. But slots was the second biggest one. And when you look on Twitch, it's also one of the top 10s at least, level in Fortnite, it used to be, in terms of like average viewers. But to have that your second biggest category past the gaming side of things, video gaming side of things, is a little concerning. I think it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And I'll bring this back around to Alvin Sheldon, because we've mentioned him a few times. So I'm just going to play a clip about what, you know, the answers that he gave at the recent Casino Beat Summit conference, and then we'll go a bit into what he said.
Not in general, but there have people left. I've not streamed on Twitch for a while now, simply because I didn't like where they was going, the direction they were headed.
Yeah.
The only reason, in my opinion, again, the only reason it happened, the ban, was because some bigger streamers on Twitch, mm-hmm. influential people, yeah. said it shouldn't be allowed. And mm-hmm. Twitch were put in a position by these people that made it not okay to do it on Twitch anymore. So it was basically an outcry that was drummed up by one or two influential people, which ultimately led to it being taken away, mm-hmm. which I don't agree with, because for the simple reason, you know, you should have the right to do what you want to do. You can still do it on there, but it's a watered down version of it now.
Interesting what he said, that he doesn't agree with it and you have a right to do what you want to do. You have a right to do what you want to do within the rules of the platform that you use. And even though this may have been led by one or two influential streamers, you can't deny that the move that Twitch made was the right move, the professional move, and the safer move. It protects so many more of the players. And I like Alvin. I like his streams. I think he's a funny guy. I think he does really well by his viewers. I will disagree with him wholeheartedly there, that Twitch, for the first time in a long time, made the right steps in moving forward in protecting their user base, because slots were out of control. When you have players spending £1,000 on a single spin, it's unrealistic, and it's just a bad example to give to others. But Danny, you interviewed him. What did you make about what he said?
Well, I think he's just sort of summing up how a lot of streamers will have reacted to the news and the restrictions. You know, from their perspective, they feel hard done by. There's that idea that Twitch has sort of caved into peer pressure from some of its bigger streamers, which isn't the way sort of a big platform like that should be sort of running their business. But let's be honest, it's the way that a lot of businesses run. And as he said, he's clearly not been fond of Twitch for a while, and sort of the attitude from streamers like him seems to be that this event was expected for a while, and maybe it sort of says a lot about Twitch as a company and where it is heading. But again, it's sort of undeniable that streaming had such a huge following on the platform, and the restrictions that it did bring in has clearly forced streamers to cut ties, as you said, with the statistics earlier on, with average viewers dropping quite a lot, significantly, to say the least. Probably the most interesting aspect is that the restrictions were sort of brought in with responsible gambling in mind, but although the sites that have been restricted were mostly sort of unregulated in those jurisdictions, that's not to say that you can't sort of promote a responsible gambling message properly by still showing these streams. So it's not like these sites and streamers were just going to disappear with the restrictions. Like we've already touched on, they've moved to different places, so that content is still there. It's not necessarily had that positive impact on the slot industry that you're hoping for. I'd say it's, if anything, it's just had a positive impact on the viewership in Twitch itself, which is obviously better than nothing. But to play devil's advocate, I find it hard to disagree with streamers' idea that Twitch maybe could have taken more responsibility by allowing these streamers to maybe still use the sites, but promote a responsible gambling message using the platform that a big streaming service like that has, because it can only present more of a risk on lesser-known platforms that are still allowing this content.
I think you run into the trouble of if you allow these streamers to continue on Twitch using the same affiliate links, using the same sites as they were, which were unlicensed sites, even if they were portraying some type of responsible gambling message, the fact they're using unlicensed sites, I think, outweighs anything. So I think what Twitch did is the right move. I think it's the correct move. I think, yes, some streamers may be impacted. Yes, the viewership numbers may drop. But give it time. The new average will come, where instead of reaching these heights of 70,000 viewers per hour in the space of 24 hours or so, that new average of 30,000 is the safer ones. It's the licensed casinos, and that's the new average you play with. So streamers need to get out of their head that they've lost all these numbers, because you haven't lost these numbers. These are numbers you shouldn't have had in the first place. And you need to kind of accept the new reality moving forward, that Twitch have been right in the step that in the direction they've taken and right to implement the rules. And it's not a bad thing. It's not. Now, the sites like the platforms like kick.com, backed by stake.com, that could be a step in the wrong direction. And it then begs the question of, if it is backed by stake.com, who is in control of their terms and conditions? Now, with Twitch, they've had a history of gambling issues stemming back from, I think, 2016, when I think it was Casino Daddy and Rosh Teen first joined on the scene. Casino Grounds also joined, but that was like a hub of streamers in one kind of company. At least they've worked towards trying to crack down and make it a safer platform. To then create a new platform with the backing of state.com, it's a gray area, which I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm not 100% convinced.
I understand it was going a bit out of hand on Twitch at times. Yeah. There's a lot of people doing some crazy things. And as exciting as it is, I think there does need to be a balance from being up here with stake sizes and the craziness to a responsible gambling message at some points as well, and saying, you know, it's been a bit crazy for a while, let's tone it down a little bit, let's kind of relax it a little bit, and just, but you can't blame Twitch for that. You've got to blame the individuals that are doing what they're doing to be responsible. They've got to lead the cause for that, and a lot of them didn't. So I understand why it happened. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can see where they're coming from.
So that was kind of, again, that was Alvin Sheldon, and part in part, I'll agree with him on what he said. People need to take responsibility. Streamers do need to take responsibility. But where I'll disagree is, and maybe he kind of contradicts himself a little bit, that Twitch took responsibility. They implemented the ban. I think they need to do more in terms of player safety, certainly when it comes to younger age viewers on the site. But they took the steps needed to move forward with this and get rid of these black market streamers. I am cautious on the time, and I feel like I've taken over a bit here, Danny. So we're going to try and wrap this up a little bit. And I think this kind of stems to, well, I think everything has kind of gathered together for this next question. So we've talked about Twitch, we've referenced YouTube, we've mentioned kick.com, which is still in its beta mode, by state.com. What are your thoughts of having a independent regulator who handle gambling content on streaming platforms? Do you think this would be the right step forward, considering the amount of platforms we have and considering the people who back them?
It's certainly a viable option. Increasing the amount of regulation is the only way we can sort of combat these blanket bans that maybe sort of make people and streamers that weren't doing that much wrong sort of they lose out due to being sort of tarred with the same brush as the streamers that were doing these crazy stake limits and stuff like that. But it has to be done properly. We can't be seeing things similar to what Alvin had mentioned in that interview, where sort of big names with more viewership and therefore power have some sort of stronghold over the regulator. It needs to be fair, and it's a very tricky situation to get right, but it definitely could make the world of difference for allowing slot content to thrive and finding that balance between, you know, allowing people to stream on websites where they can sort of make more of a living as a streamer, while also being able to, you know, prevent the sort of things we were seeing that brought these restrictions in the first place.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that legal streamers, we'll call them that for this, they are not against working with an independent regulator and the gambling industry to build more robust verification processes. And similar with its transparency in terms of the content that it produces and where its money comes from, they expect the same when it comes to independent regulators. And peering through the grapevine, this hasn't been the case several attempts in the past where they've tried to be open with independent regulators to get ruling in place, and it hasn't been reciprocated. I believe it is necessary within the sector moving forward. And it is mainly down to not my distrust. No, yeah, we'll call it a distrust. My distrust with streaming platforms and kind of Twitch's past and now Kick.com. So I do believe it is necessary within the sector to have an independent regulator for slots. And it's mainly due to my distrust in Twitch in addressing issues on its platform. And that distrust will also stem not from YouTube, because I feel like YouTube do a very good job. But now you've got Kick.com, who I believe are having a different motive in hand. Twitch has done well with its recent rule changes, but the platform as a whole is still plagued with issues outside of the sector. And I will reiterate this over and over, it's down to protecting its viewers. And these viewers have a lot of underage users. It's mainly a video gaming platform. A lot of people watch it on there. Age filters are not strong enough on that platform, in my opinion. Certainly with explicit content. And you've had stuff like Hot Tub Streaming, you know, Spike Crave in the last few years, and influx in OnlyFans affiliations on the site and stuff. And I know that's kind of going away down the narrative. But you protect slot streamers by having an independent regulator to cover their backs, to get away from issues that are also plaguing not just Twitch, but other platforms as well, to their outside sources. If you have someone there to set the rules and you work with streamers hand in hand to create a fair and safe platform with a responsible message, I think that's only going to improve slot streamers going forward, but also kind of the relationship with the industry and affiliates in that sense, and also the audience as well. And I'm going to wrap this up now. Moving forward, how would you like to see the collaboration between slot streamers and the industry enhance?
I mean, after having quite a few discussions at Casino Beats Summit a couple of weeks ago, you know, streamers are starting to be recognized as sort of that key element of what they are to the slot industry. I think for the moment we need to see more of what we have been seeing, which is sort of suppliers collaborating with streamers. Because it's always likely to be a win-win situation, as it provides publicity for both sides. And it was actually touched on at a panel session in Malta, saying that there is the chance that slot streamers can, you know, use their platform to make or break a game. It can be that essential to some suppliers. You've got to think about suppliers that are maybe only just starting out as well, how great publicity that can be for finding, you know, business deals that can essentially make or break a company as well. So they've added a whole new layer to the iGaming sector since streaming has become more and more popular, and it needs to carry on being acknowledged sort of industry-wide in that way. People forget that some of these streamers have a decent amount of viewers that may not even gamble and just enjoy watching the streams, rather than the expected other way around, where people usually, they like gambling, so they like streaming. So there is an audience there that can be captured from these streams as well. So it can only be good for the industry on the whole that we sort of keep streaming close and sort of nurture it as well.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with you there. I believe streamers are the next form of slot marketing. I think they're absolutely fantastic in what they do. Their opinions on the game and their knowledge on the game is far superior to even some of the people working on the games, because they, day in, day out, they play these games. They are passionate about what about slots. And they also have the audience there to kind of drive that traffic and to relay that message. And like you said, it's only a benefit for the suppliers to have that, what's the word I'm looking for? To have that tool at hand, to have that asset. I think it's a great thing moving forward. I want to see more of it. I want more operators, though, to kind of go down the live spins route when it comes to streaming. I believe that's an absolutely perfect balance of responsible betting and complete transparency when it comes to streaming and great entertainment value. And for those who are unaware, live spins launched in 2021, and they allow players to watch their favorite streamers and then place bets behind their play, which I think is a really cool idea because it's a great social element as well, where people are communicating with the streamers and through the channels as well with others placing bets. And I believe this could very well be the future of streaming and the sector collaborating moving forward. And I'm really excited to see how that pans out. And we have run over time a little bit. And Danny, I feel like I've talked a bit more than usual, but thank you for joining us today. It's been a great insight, and your interview with Alvin Sheldon it's great. A lot of the stuff he talks about is fascinating. There's some stuff on the UK Gambling Commission and the white paper released recently that will be in a future documentary on casinobeats.com. So keep an eye out for that. Anything related to streaming, from Casino Beats, I will leave in the description below. Once again, Danny, thank you for joining us, and for our listeners, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of iGaming Daily, brought to you in conjunction with the Canadian Gaming Summit, being held at the Metro Toronto Convention Centre on the 13th to the 15th of June. If you want to find out more about some of the subjects raised today, feel free to explore any of the sites in the SBC News Network or check out the latest edition of the SBC Leaders Magazine. Happy reading.